for his fire. He was certain there had to be a single old paratab in one of the pockets of his coat. Doc Tanner had once kept them enthralled around a campfire with his retelling of an old story. Ryan could vaguely remember that the writer had been called Jack, but the second name had gone. But he did recall the name of the story, To Light a Fire. A man in a freezing wilderness had fallen into water and knew that his life was done if he failed to get a fire going to warm himself. But in his haste, he had tried to light it beneath a tree, branches loaded with snow. The snow had melted and put out his precious flickering flames, and the man had died. Ryan glanced across at Kate. The young woman's face was as pale as the bleached granite where her head rested, and her breathing was becoming more and more rapid and shallow. Ryan rummaged through his pockets with wooden fingers that didn't belong to him. Like J.B. Dix, Ryan used his long coat as a receptacle for all manner of useful and useless things. Various bits and pieces tumbled onto the floor of the cave. A spent round of 9mm ammunition, the torn top off a can of self-heat soup, a green pebble with a streak of silver quartz running through it. Ryan was puzzled by that and was about to throw it away when he remembered that he'd picked it up many months ago because it reminded him of the emerald eyes of Christy Roth. There was an assortment of crumbs and unidentifiable shreds of paper and fluff. A small side pocket produced a plastic key with the number 6 stamped on it, and a picture of an old penny-farthing bicycle. The handle of a tiny screwdriver was in the same pocket, and a length of neatly coiled fishing line. But no pyrotab.
Oh, fire blast!
The last pocket, deep and narrow, produced an iridescent bird's feather, a splinter of broken mirror, and a pyrotab. Ryan muttered a prayer to Christie's Gaia that it wouldn't malfunction. The metal was slippery and difficult to hold at the best of times. Ryan made 3 abortive attempts to grip it and start the ignition process, but 3 times it fell to the floor. Feeling sick and dizzy, Ryan managed to shove his right hand into the waist of his trousers, pressing the numb flesh against the faint warmth of his stomach down into his groin. He leaned back against the wall of the cave, breathing slowly, his eye closed. The past few hours had been among the most bleak and exhausting of his entire life. Now all he wanted was to get a fire going and fight off the icy lethargy that was creeping through his body. The afternoon thunderstorm had been soaring high above the circle of snow-topped peaks, lightning flashing vividly against the pewter sky. A bolt lanced to break against the hillside across the river, the noise bursting into the valley with a thunderous roar.
No, my brother. What?
Ryan jerked awake, looking out of the cave to where a heavy rain had begun to cascade from the north. The realization that he'd slipped into what might have been a final sleep startled Ryan, and he deliberately found a less comfortable way to sit, resting his cheek against a sharp spur of the rock. Now his right hand was feeling a little warmer. He experimentally wriggled his fingers, finding a degree of response.
Go for it.
The pyrotab clicked into action, and he laid it carefully, his hand trembling, onto the chips of wood. The ends of the white splinters darkened and began to smolder, glowing crimson. With the utmost caution, Ryan put a few more tiny shards of pine on top of the pyrotab. The flames gathered strength, working its way along the kindling, biting at the dry twigs that Ryan placed on the fire. Now there was the sound of crackling as larger pieces of wood were fitted into the heap. The dark red flames were turning yellow, then white, as the heat raced through, consuming the driftwood. Ryan rose and went outside, looking cautiously around, bringing back several bigger branches, some pine and some from an old sycamore. There was a little pale smoke coming from the mouth of the cave, but the rain was dispelling it. And they should be far enough from the main complex of the sulfur mines to be safe from any roving set guards. The storm seemed to have settled directly overhead, and Ryan could smell the bitterness of ozone in the air. A couple of feet away from the edge of the fire, Ryan's coat was already beginning to steam, and the dusting of blown snow on some of the rocks was beginning to melt.
Kate.
He moved to kneel beside the unconscious young woman and placed a hand on her forehead, which was cold as any stone. It took Ryan several minutes to get Kate completely stripped from her sodden, clinging clothes. He placed them by the fire to dry, taking off more of his own wet clothing. The Sig Sauer and the Panga were near at hand, and he kept going to the entrance to glance into the torrential downpour. Before the huge pile of driftwood became soaked through, he dragged several more big branches into the cave. He rolled Kate onto her back. She looked absurdly young, lying there naked and helpless. Her bare feet were puckered and white from the long immersion in the river, and the skin on her palms was also wrinkled, with a corpse-like pallor to it. Her eyes were closed, and a fringe of black hair clung to her temple. The roaring flames glowed off her body, making parts of it seem ruddy and healthy, flickering shadows dancing across her small breasts, the nipples erect with the cold.
Come on, lady. Come on.
Ryan chafed her wrists and ankles, trying to get the blood flowing through her frozen veins. In the confined space of the low-roofed cavern, the heat built up very quickly. Ryan had to stop and move their clothes farther away, as her shirt was beginning to char at the edges. He was already sweating, stripping off to his underpants and a sleeveless t-shirt. Ryan rubbed hard at the insides of Kate's arms and her calves, massaging her knees. He noticed a slight change in the color of her skin.
Hot.
Her eyes were still squeezed tight shut, her fingers clenching into her palms, her toes curling as she arched her feet. Ryan breathed hard with the labor of trying to restore the young woman to life.
Yeah, better than cold.
A burning branch of a lodgepole pine collapsed in a shower of bright sparks, some of which settled on Kate's body. Ryan leaned forward and brushed them away from her breasts, extinguishing a few that had landed and hissed in her damp tendrils of pubic hair. Feeling his hand touching her lower, Kate opened her eyes. Her lips were now restored to their normal color, and they parted and half-smiled.
It's a good thing Cody isn't around, Ryan. Might take what you're doing a tad different.
You feeling better?
Ryan sat back on his heels, his t-shirt sticking to his chest and shoulders with perspiration.
Feel like a living woman again. First time for hours, I guess. It seems like days in that blackness.
She reclined and extended her back, not making any effort to cover her naked body. Stretching her arms above her head, she stared into the writhing dragons of the fire.
Wish we had some food.
Can't have everything. I'll settle for this warmth and shelter from the storm. Listen to that blasted wind raging outside.
The rain poured down in a ceaseless curtain, and the afternoon seemed as dark as dusk. Ryan moved to arrange his clothes again, finding that they were drying well. The butt of the automatic was hot to the touch, and he moved it farther from the fire.
Need some more wood at this rate. Get some in when the rain eases. Let it dry off in here for a while.
As he sat again, the dizziness returned, making him bite his lip, putting his hand to his forehead.
You okay?
Yeah.
I'm real tired, Ryan. Could we maybe sleep a while?
We should move on.
The truth was that he was bone-weary as well, on the ragged edge of exhaustion. Nobody functioned well at that pitch of fatigue.
Can't we...
Yeah, all right. Good a place as any. We'll wreck it first light. Catch up on some sleep.
She knelt on her clothes close by him, reaching out to touch him gently on the bare arm.
Ryan?
Yeah?
You know?
What?
She drew closer, and he could almost taste her.
You know, Ryan? Please?
Ryan didn't say anything, and Kate moved against his body, her arms around him, her hands reaching. He knew what she was asking of him.
Please?
Sorry. You'd have to warm yourself by the fire only. Wouldn't be right any other way.
Because of your woman back south?
Yeah.
Well, can we at least keep each other warm without, you know?
Fine by me.
When Ryan woke, it was full dark outside the entrance to the cave. He could hear that the rain had stopped falling and the night was still. The fire had died away to a pile of glowing ashes that would need further nourishment if it was to see them through the night. The sound of the river was louder than he remembered, and he guessed that the downpour would have raised its level. Kate was still fast asleep, flat on her back, her mouth open as she snored slightly. One arm was stretched above her head, The other lay under the pile of clothes that had provided them both with a covering. In the warm half-light from the dying fire, Raya noticed for the first time that the young woman's nails were bitten down clear to the quick.